Hi, you're listening to an audio devotional bonus track. This is taken from the series The Me I Want to Be by John Ortberg. This is Jackson Fong, and I'm student ministries pastor here at Community Church of Susanville. And in this particular series, we've been talking about the idea of becoming the masterpiece that God has made to us, the workmanship that God has made to us to be able to be restored to the best and fullest of our value and our possibilities. This is the last session in section 3, Redeeming My Time. And the truth of the matter is that when we think of trying to make the most of our time, trying to become everything that we want to be, everything we desire to be, the hard truth is, we don't always pass. We don't always accomplish everything we want to. And sometimes the toughest thing is getting up and moving on. Because the truth is, sometimes we fail, and we fail big. Sometimes when we fail, it's so intense. It's so intense, it really affects a ton of people. Sometimes we just fail and it just affects us, and sometimes we fail and most people will hardly be able to tell we did. And sometimes when we fail, we can hide it. Today, I just wanted to take a little bit of time to focus on what happens when we fail. Before we do that though, if you would, join me in prayer. Dear God, right now I just ask and pray that you would just be with us right now as we take some time to look at your word. So often we make mistakes and we fail and we mess up. Help us to hear from you today what you desire to tell us when we look at this. Thanks for caring enough to leave a book that covers all that. Thanks for giving us examples in the past that help support that. Thank you for showing us in true examples in real life to remind us of who you are and what you want to tell us, how you want to interact with us when we do fail. Thanks, God. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. When we fail, what happens? When we fail, what does it look like? When it fails, what does it do to us? I don't think we really need to spend a whole lot of time talking about the negative effects of failing, because I think we all know what that looks like. But how do you move forward once you fail, once you make a mess up, once you blow it, regardless if it's something small or if it really does impact a lot of people? How do you move forward? What do you do? How do you get out of the rut? How can you keep going? How can you keep pressing on? How do you look in the mirror when those things happen? I wanted to start off today by looking at one of my favorite passages in Scripture. And it's a passage I think a lot of people are familiar with. But I don't think we always take everything for what it is. Let's look at this first passage, 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 to 10. 1 John 1, verses 5 to 10. Living in the light. This is the message we heard from Jesus, and now declare to you. God is light, and there is no darkness in him at all. So we're lying if we say that we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness. We are not practicing the truth. But if we are living in the light, God, as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we claim we have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful, and not just to forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all wickedness. If we claim we have not sinned, we are calling God a liar, and showing that his word is no place in our hearts. I think it's pretty obvious to us that if God is perfect and we as human beings are not, we've got issues. The concept I want to focus on today is verse 9. But if we confess our sins to Him, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. That's pretty amazing. It's kind of dark without that forgiveness. But the Bible says if we confess our sins to Him, then He reveals to us who He is, His faithfulness and His justice. He's faithful because He promised He'd be there for us. And by confessing, it opens the door so that it's not a big deal for us to be with Him. Because He wants to be, but He can't be around that sin. He shows us justice by forgiving us because Christ already paid the price. And by clinging to that, it would be unjust to not forgive us. But it's not just about forgiving us. The end of verse 9, it says, and to cleanse us from all wickedness. Not some wickedness, not a couple things that are wicked, but all wickedness. If you confess it, if you ask God for forgiveness, if you admit the fact that you messed up and that you ask for forgiveness, it promises us here, He will. We don't have to cling to the past. We don't. It's a beautiful thing. We don't have to cling to the past. God releases it. So why do we hang on to it? Here's another one. Numbers chapter 14. In Numbers chapter 14, the Israelites are rebelling against Moses and Aaron and God. Then they talk about hurting Joshua and Caleb because they're, long story short, the Israelites sent 12 spies into the land of Canaan. They come back, most of the spies are freaking out, saying there's no way. And Joshua and Caleb said, why are you guys freaking out? God gives us the opportunity and the option to go in there and to take it. Let's go do it. And so the people freak out and they go against Joshua, they go against Caleb, they go against Moses and Aaron, and they go against God. And they rebel. Verse 11, and the Lord said to Moses, how long will these people treat me with contempt? Will they never believe me, even after all the miraculous signs I have done among them? I will disown them and destroy them in a plague. Then I will make you into a nation mightier, greater and mightier than they are. But Moses objected. But what will the Egyptians think when they hear about it? He asked the Lord. They know full well the power you displayed in rescuing your people from Egypt. Now if you destroy them, the Egyptians will send a report to the inhabitants of this land, who have already heard that you live among your people. They know, Lord, that you have appeared to your people face to face, and that your pillar of cloud hovers over them. They know that you go before them in the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. Now if you slaughter all these people with a single blow, the nations that have heard your fame will say, the Lord was not able to bring them into the land He swore to give to them, so He killed them in their wickedness. Please, Lord, prove that your power is as great as you've claimed. For you said, the Lord is slow to anger and filled with unfailing love, forgiving every kind of sin and rebellion. But He does not excuse the guilty. He lays the sin of the parents upon the children. The entire family is affected, even children in the third and fourth generations. In keeping with your magnificent, unfailing love, please pardon the sins of this people, just as you have forgiven them ever since they left Egypt. If you read through the entire chapter, you read through all the different things that the Israelites did and didn't do and how they responded and affected and everything else. But again, in verse 18, the Lord is slow to anger and filled with unfailing love, forgiving every kind of sin and rebellion. God desires to forgive us of everything. But we got to ask. We got to ask and claim it. Will you go get it and claim it? Some other verses you might want to check out. Isaiah 1:18 and Isaiah 43:25. Let God do some amazing things in your life. If you've got something heavy, let it go. God desires to clean you and make you whiter than snow. Remember, you're loved. You're cherished, you're loved, and you never have to be alone. God desires to be there for you and with you. Let Him. God bless.